one of the books in the Bible called Galatians. And it's the Apostle Paul who's speaking, and he's been speaking to the churches in the area of Galatia. And I know you're probably not going to get all of it because I'm on the last chapter today. But hang in there, and I'm sure you'll pick up some things. Now, what was happening was Paul had gone around these churches and he preached about Jesus, and they'd all believed and had faith in God, and their churches were going great. And then all of a sudden these legalistic Jewish people would come in and try and say, no, don't listen to what Paul's saying. You've got to follow the law. You've got to do this. You've got to be circumcised. You've got all the things that they did back in the Old Testament of the law. And Paul was saying to the churches, come on, that's not true. Jesus has died now. All that has been taken to the cross, and we now have a freedom in him, and we are under a new commandment, which is to love. And so that's sort of just the quick background. So we're doing chapter 6 today. So, Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you that as it goes out, that people would have just catch whatever it is they need to catch, Lord. And so I commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll start at verse 1. And yeah, it's about Paul's last words to the Galatians. All right, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you know, sin or whatever, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So Paul is telling us how a spiritual person should live under grace in his or her treatment of other people, because the Judaizers, those legal Jewish people, they didn't do this. They didn't restore people. They just condemned them and judged them and threw them out. They pointed fingers at people. That's what the law did. It looks, you know, at everyone else, what everyone else is doing, and picks fault with them. But we who are spiritual, it says, and let's say mature, should restore people in a spirit of gentleness or meekness. You know, Jesus, he washed people's feet and he washed them gently. He did it in a spirit of gentleness. Then it says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Well, in other words, that could have been me that did that, or that could have been you that was there. It could be any one of us at any time, because we're all capable of making a mistake, aren't we? And so we don't look at ourselves like, oh, look at that person, I'll never do that, because we don't know. You see, it's not me that did that by the grace of God, Paul says. So what am I going to do? I'm going to help restore people. How? I'm going to do it gently, with a gentle spirit. Remember when Jesus, after the Last Supper, he and the disciples were on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus basically says to his guys, he predicts that they're all going to fall away that night. And Peter says, well, maybe, Lord, they will, but I would never do that. Not me, Lord. No, I would never fall away. I would never do that. And Jesus says, well, Peter, truly I say to you, before the night's over and before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. But Peter, upnoting himself, says, well, Lord, even if I die with you, I would never deny you. And actually all the disciples said the same thing. Oh, no, not me, Lord. Then later on we know the story that 3 different people came up to Peter that night, one after the other, and said, you're the one that knows that Jesus fella. No, I don't know him, he said. And another one would come up. You're the one seen with Jesus. No, never seen him before in my life. And the 3rd time again, someone says, aren't you the one hanging with Jesus? No, that wasn't me. And Peter denied him 3 times. He even cursed and said he did not know Jesus. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter realised what he'd done, and he wept bitterly. And this is what that verse means. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Don't be so judgmental on someone in case one day you fall and you find yourself that you need to be restored and forgiven. And after the resurrection, Jesus met up with Peter and he has a bit of a chat with him because, you know, Jesus had denied him after all 3 times and Jesus knew that he was going to do it. But Jesus gently restores him 3 times. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter goes, yes, yes, I do. Well, Peter, feed my sheep. And again, he asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do, Lord, of course. Well, tend my sheep. And the third time Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Well, of course I do, Lord. You know that I do. And he says, well, feed my lambs. In other words, look after each other, love one another, encourage one another. See, Jesus restored him in a gentleness of spirit. And that's the difference between someone who's legalistic and someone who's under grace. The legalist will find faults in everything, finger pointing, but one under grace restores, doesn't point the fingers, but opens arms and the hands that restored in gentle spirit. Remember the Pharisees, who they caught this woman in the act of adultery, and they dragged her to Jesus and they commanded that by the law she should be stoned. They were such legalistic, mean people, and it's interesting because they brought the woman to Jesus. But if she was caught in the act, where was the man? Maybe he was one of the mates, I don't know. But Jesus gently says, yeah, that's what the law says. But you who are without sin, you cast the first stone. And of course, they all walked away. You see, the word restore is a beautiful word. It means to mend something that's broken. And it's a word used in medicine to set a bone that's been broken or to mend a fishing net that's been torn so that it will be usable again. I love that. To mend something that's been broken. Verse 2 says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, we're not under that law of the Old Testament, the law of Moses anymore. So what's the new law? The law of Christ, back in chapter 5:14, we read it last week. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. And that's how Jesus summed it up. That the law of Christ is about love and bearing one another's burdens to fulfil the law, which is love. And we need to get good at loving people and good at bearing one another's burdens and supporting each other in difficult times. These legal Jewish people, they were a burden though. They came and they laid burdens on people. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 23, which we'll look at 1-4, it says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the legalists, sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves not willing to move them with their finger. They were hypocrites, weren't they? They would tell them what to do, but they didn't do it. And so don't be a burden, but be bearing a burden for others. You know, some people we know, they spread joy and peace and love and make people happy, encourage people wherever they go. They care about what's going on and they support you. And then there's other people who just want to dump on you and try and put a guilt trip on you too. And, you know, that happens, doesn't it, in life? But some people just naturally bring encouragement and others don't. Some people will help you bear your burden and others will be your burden. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Remember that conversation we just talked about that Peter had with Jesus that said, you know, when Jesus said, you're all going to fall away. And Peter was so full of pride when he said, well, I would never do that, Lord. And Peter thought he was incapable of committing that sin. He was so confident in himself that he thought he was something higher and greater than the others. And that was the root of his problem, pride. He thought he was better than the others. And so he was deceiving himself because none are better than others. We're all the same. We're all on the same level. We might have a different walk, different level of our walk, but none are better than anyone else. No one. Verse 4. But let each one test his own work And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour. We just got to walk our own walk, don't we? And not boast about it. We boast in Jesus. But we're all responsible for what we do and our own walk. Verse 5. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, this might sound like a contradiction because in verse 1 we're saying be burden bearers and share each other's burdens. And now it's saying here, bear your own load. So I looked into this. And it's not a contradiction. These two words are different. In the Greek, they're very different words. Verse 2 talks about burdens and verse 5 talks about the loads. So to bear one another's burdens in the Greek is baras, which doesn't really matter. But it refers to a heavy weight, a heavy load, or something that is so heavy that you just can't bear it alone. And you need to spread that load on the shoulders of other saints with trusted people, people who will support and pray for you. And that is what bearing one another's burdens is. But in verse 5, it says we all have to bear our own load. That's the word portion in the Greek. And that just means it's a smaller, manageable load, like a backpack that we could carry ourselves. And in ancient times, the Roman soldiers, they'd carry their things on their back and they could manage it. They didn't have to have someone else carry their pack for them. So there's certain things that we have to carry ourselves and carry alone because, hey, we can pray. We can stand against these things. We can apply the word, speak the word over these things. As Lynn said, we apply the word. It is a light and a lamp. And that helps to build up our faith. Because we can do these things. Let's face it, we all have loads most days that we carry. But we are also to cast our cares onto him because we're not meant to walk around burdened. Yes, we have things to do, but we know what to do. We pray, we believe, we declare all those things. And so we bear others' burdens, but we carry our load ourselves. Because remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, he won't give us any more than we can handle in our own personal thing. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that, that's for sure. But you'd be surprised at what you can cope with and what you can handle. Because some I've said, oh, I could never cope with that. But you do. You do because we have the Lord. We can do it. You will be okay. You will make it through. And if it's so heavy, you share it with someone that you trust. Someone, a few people, and we pray for things because we are to bear each other's burdens. Verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. The word share here means to remunerate. So let him who is taught the word remunerate in all good things with him who teaches. Now, I know how much time I spend in the Word and getting these messages, and I love it. I love it. And I know how much time Sandra spends doing her Bible study preparation because we're here to teach and to preach the Word and others who do as well. This is a remuneration thing because, I mean, we know in Malachi it tells us to bring all the tithe into the storehouse where there will be food. Well, this is spiritual food that you're listening to. And God's word is spiritual food. And we get fed every week here and at Bible study. And it says the workman is worthy of his wage. And if you're wondering why this verse is sitting here in all amongst this, it's because the legal Jewish people were against supporting Paul. All the teachers that Paul had set up to teach the word of God. And they would go around saying, don't support Paul, don't give that, don't give that. It's wrong. But Paul's saying, let those who teach the word share, remunerate in all good things with him who teaches. So I'll be taking up an offering at the back. No, so will Sandra. No, not really. That's right. But that's what he's talking about here. So when you just read it through, you go, oh, he's all over the shop. But he's... his last words to the Galatians, he's getting out what he needs to say before he goes on. Now, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, there's a broad principle of sowing and reaping, and we know that that's true in every aspect of life. But in these verse and even the one before, Paul's telling the Galatians to support their preachers and their teachers financially. It would seem that sowing and reaping has probably got something to do with that verse in this context. So Paul's saying, if you go and spend all your money on worldly things and the flesh and your own satisfaction and building your own kingdom with a little K, and you don't take care of the work of God, you're going to reap corruption. But if you do and you support, you're going to support the work of God, you're going to reap a good harvest. And that is the context here. And it's also a spiritual principle that is mentioned many times in the Bible, the law of sowing and reaping. It's a natural law that happens every day. You sow some seed, you water it, it grows, and you reap a harvest. So you will reap what you sow. And Paul also uses this when he talks to the Corinthians, when he's speaking of finances, when he says, if you sow sparingly, you'll just reap sparingly, you'll get a little back. But if you reap bountifully, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. And that's the law of sowing and reaping. And I know that at any given moment, you can be sowing into the Spirit and you can be sowing into the flesh. And we're sowing into the Spirit today because you're here and you understand the importance of what it's like to be in the house of God and to hear the Word of God. So you're going to reap a harvest. And the truths in this, the truths that we sow into our spirit will come in, we'll be able to sow into the generations to come. And you might not see it immediately, but when you plant a seed and you wait for it to grow, it will grow. But if you sow to the flesh and the worldly things that satisfy us ourselves, you will reap corruption. That's what the word says. So it's a good point to look at, what are we sowing? Yesterday at our prayer meeting, we had a beautiful group of people come here to pray, and we prayed the whole time for families and for the prayers that we've been praying for our unsaved children and for those family members. And we just believe that God is hearing our prayer. We're also already hearing little testimonies of the seeds that have been sown through prayer. And, you know, like Craig said, he'd sown some seed, but then the sister came along and watered that, and there was a harvest because Jeremy said that prayer to the Lord, and we know where he is now. So when you sow in the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit, and your spirit will grow. Whatever you feed will grow. You know that, don't you? Whatever you feed, whatever you look at, whatever you focus on, that's going to be the big thing. And so when we focus on the spiritual things, we will reap that as well. And, you know, we've got to starve the flesh sometimes, because remember last week, it's been crucified with Christ already, and we've got to feed our spirit. And, you know, when you feed the flesh, you're actually feeding a monster, because it's never satisfied. The flesh wants more. If you feed it, it wants more and more. And anybody who's been caught in any addiction will tell you that the flesh is never satisfied. You've got to starve your flesh. Verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. And I thought of that yesterday, that, you know, we put together a beautiful service to honour Sylvia because they're in the household of faith. And sometimes you think, oh, I've got to go to all this work and do this. But, you know, what? It's just beautiful when the body comes together to honour those in the household of faith. You know, I mean, Jesus did good to everyone, didn't he? He fed the 5,000, some were believers, some weren't. But he was just doing good to all. But it says especially to those in the household of faith. And if there's a need within us that we, you know, within the body that we can help, then that should be our priority. And then he closes off by saying, again, he chops and changes Paul here, and he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." Remember, back a few chapters, we read that Paul had a disease in his eyes. So he probably couldn't see that well, and he had to write it in large handwriting so he could see it, or he wanted to put some big letters in there to make a statement of something. I don't know, but that's what he says. I'm writing with large letters. He wanted us to take notice of what he was writing and to emphasize this. So verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. That was because of the law, and only in order that they may be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, Paul was persecuted by the Jewish people when he went into the synagogue. They stirred up trouble against him. And the Judaizers, the legal ones, they didn't want any persecution. And because they were preaching about the law and circumcision, they seemed to be out of the line of fire. You see, when you preach the gospel, the truth, no matter what you do, you know, you can say to someone, no matter how many laws you keep, no matter what good things you do, we're not good enough unless they've been born again. And people don't like that. People think, well, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything wrong. But good people don't go to heaven. Only people who are born again will go to heaven. So we don't do good things to get God's favour. We be born again, and then we do good things because he's been good to us. And we want to help him and show others and love others. And so this can bring persecution when we tell people these things, what the gospel says, because it cancelled out any human works, because people like to think that they've achieved something and that they are something. But in God, we're all the same. We're all the same. And the Bible tells us that we're not good enough without him. Verse 13, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. It was like they wanted to get another notch on their belt to say, yep, got that one done. You know, they were full of pride. Verse 14 and 15. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Either way, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if they had been or not been, you know. What matters is, has God changed your life? Do you have God in your life? And then you become a new creation. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the old things pass away, and all things become new. That's what's important. If you've been born again, and that's what it's talking about here. And I just want to say, I'm glad that I don't have to say those words again, circumcision and all those things that's been in this chapter. I'm like, phew, I think we've got to, I don't have to talk about them anymore. Yes. Verse 16, we're just about there. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. You know, Israel was never far from Paul's thoughts. And he's speaking of those now who are the new creation, who've been crucified with Christ. And this includes regenerating the Jews and the Gentiles who had faith in Christ. And verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. You see, Paul just was over it. I was over it for him going through this. They just hassled him and caused him trouble, and he was just tired. And he says, well, I boast in the sufferings of Jesus that he bore on his body. And that was the mark that gave him the qualification, wasn't it? You know, Paul was probably one walking scar. I'm not sure how many times he'd been arrested. He'd been beaten, flogged, tortured, thrown in jail, and eventually he was beheaded. But he said, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. And that's all that mattered to him, because his reward was going to be in heaven. And the last verse says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, be with you, your spirit brothers. Amen. And he closes the book in the same way that he opens the book. He closes it with grace, and he opened it with grace, because it's all about grace. And the final word from Paul was grace, grace, grace. Paul says, I can preach grace because I've been preaching it, and there are marks on my body, there are scars on my body that proves that this message is the one that the world hates. But it's the message that God gave me to preach. So wherever Paul went, he was scarred. And you and I sometimes will bear scars for righteousness. Because if we're in God, we will sometimes be persecuted. Count it a badge of honour. If someone has a go at you, count it a badge of honour. We don't get flogged and thrown in jail, or who knows what's going to happen down the track. If you say about Jesus, we could be thrown in jail. But wear that as a badge of honour. And when it happens, thank Jesus. Because, you know, when someone posts something about you on Facebook, whatever, because you're a Christian, don't worry about it. Count it as a badge of honour. And take, as we take biblical stands against some of the rules and laws in the political world, we're going to be persecuted for it. But we're going to stand. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand against this. And so this is the end of chapter 6 and the book of Galatians. So